Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. Today, my little heart is just doing flip-flops. I'm interviewing a man whose heart is so similar to mine, even though we've never met in person. I feel like God cut us from the same cloth in many ways. Will Mancini. And if you're thinking of the orchestra conductor, that is a good picture for Will Mancini, because what he does is he helps churches particularly get clear about their vision. His bio is intense. He has a degree in chemical engineering, and he also has a degree in pastoral leadership. And so he combines that engineering procedural detailed step process with his understanding of pastoral needs. And he has taken churches from like 0 to 3,000 attendants. And his passion now, is with Church Unique. He has this book called Church Unique, How Missional Leaders Cast Vision, Capture Culture, and Create Movement. And he publishes through the Leadership Network publication. You can find out more about him at willmancini.com, and I'll give you his email address later in the show, but I don't want to keep gushing because we're here to hear from Will. Will, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Laurie Beth. It's great to be with you today.
Well, Will, tell us, what's the work that you do each day? And in the pre-show, we talked about some of the stories that you have to tell. I know that I have worked with churches, and the pastors have the Bible, your book, right there on their desk, and that is a good picture for every pastor to have. So what do you do with churches?
Yeah, well, to understand it best, I think it would be helpful to kind of hear the Big Bang story of how it all got started. About 10 years ago, I was really given an opportunity to spend about 6 months coaching and working with different church leaders across the country, different faith tribes and so forth, and God really, really impressed upon my heart that there was this a tremendous need for clarity, for vision, for a better strategic understanding of how a church can, you know, advance its work in a community. And the way that felt to me, Laurie Beth, it felt as if the problem that churches were dealing with is what I call photocopied vision. And the way that experience happened is you go into a church, you know, it could be any size. You walk in the first 5 minutes, whether you pick up a guest brochure or you're looking at the banners in the hallway, you could literally tell which either conference or book, you know, the staff had recently read. And I just kept thinking, God, there's got to be something wrong with this, Lord. You're doing so much new and creative stuff, you know, in the world through the kingdom. And yet churches are busy looking at what other churches are doing rather than finding their own unique calling. So that was the holy discontent that launched me in this direction. So really, to answer your question, every day I really work with leadership teams. We'll usually spend a good half to three-quarter day in a robust process, praying, dreaming together, discerning, asking questions, and walking through this process that I've somewhat engineered for discernment and articulation of a unique vision. So that's you know, really our daily work at Oxano, and we have a team of individuals who do that.
So tell us a story of a church that was maybe using a photocopy vision and then you help them get clear about their unique DNA.
Yeah. Well, there's so many, and what I love is there's church plants, smaller churches that have been plateaued, larger churches that got more effective. I'll tell two maybe short in the same city. Remember a Lutheran church that went through our process a few years ago, and they were stuck. A church, you know, running into 300 to 400, and just had felt stuck for about 10 years. I remember walking into their campus the first time. I picked up a brochure, and just with the language they were using in their brochure, I could tell that they had recently attended a North Point conference with Andy Stanley, who's got a great model for how to do church. So they were running, you know, another church's playbook, and in the course of walking through, you know, a six-month journey, they began to really uncover this passion for mentoring. And if you look at classic things like, you know, even, you know, at the Lutheran Church, even Luther's catechism was written to a family, as a father, as he mentored the children. And they began looking at their confirmation process as a mentoring process. They began looking at a lot of their outreach opportunities through this big idea of mentoring. It took months to really discern that big idea, but they were able to really re-envision a future around the best of who they've always been, but with a focused movement toward mentoring, and that began to drip through their mission, their values, their strategy. To give you an example, there was a time here, Houston's navigated a few big hurricanes in the last decade, and one of those, when it hit, this church really had a shotgun approach to how they might help people who had needs in the hurricane. Well, after having this this newer perspective and a vision driven by a mentoring corporate grace, if you will, they began to put more and more energies, not just towards shotgun ways of benevolence and helping people, but really adopting families and adopting children in particular. And as they put more and more of a focused approach around that, they began to feel this flywheel spin. And what was really exciting was even in the first year, they had their first 10% worship growth, you know, after being plateaued for a long time. And they've continued to see enthusiasm, excitement, impact in their community. The best part about it is when the pastor, at the end of the process and years into it, just says, "I would not go back to ministry life without this clarity." And he just, and you can see the spark in his eye, and there's a bounce in his step, and his team is more engaged together. They really feel like they're doing a significant, unique work in their corner of the world. And you know what? They still go to conferences, they still read books, but they have their own model of ministry that they're proud of and they feel God's called them to, that they can, you know, learn from others, but they don't have to just blindly cut and paste, you know, what other churches are doing to make theirs work. So now, I won't tell as long of a story of that, but, you know, right at that same time, I'm working with a young church planner who's planning right in actually downtown Houston. This Lutheran church is also in Houston. And this young church planner goes through, and he's got a blank slate, and he goes through the exact same process to come up with a very different kind of emphasis. And in his case, his focus is on integrating the gospel into the lives of busy young dads who've moved back to the city. And it's very specific. He's 7 months into his church plant. He's got 120 people coming on Sunday. He's got 80 people signed up, Lori Beth, in what they call mission partnership. So here's a church just barely off the ground, and he's got such a clear vision that 80 people, you know, have signed in blood to say, "I want to be a part of this mission," you know.
It's so amazing when people get clear, and we've got just a few minutes left. What's the biggest challenge for churches today, or even an organization that is struggling? You know, you and I share a similar passion about people using a process to get clear about what God called them to do. So what would your words of advice be to a church or a young organization or an organization of any size?
Yeah, well, you use the word process, Lori Beth, and I would say first that many, many times in the church we're addicted to product, where real meaning comes through process. So the question goes back, you know, what keeps us so preoccupied with product and easy answers? And I think the most practical is just what I call the ministry treadmill. You know, there is so much happening in so many churches. We're usually a little busier than we need to be because it's all the programs. Sundays are coming. We get that classic rhythm of church life. And I say all the time, there's without margin, there's no imagination. So you can't even begin a process unless you've created some margin time there. So that's one. I think another is what I call the competency trap. And I walk into a church, and there may be a pastor who's got a couple decades worth of successful ministry, and there's all the notches on the belt, and there's a you know, a sense of pride of what we've accomplished, and sometimes that can preclude, you know, a breakthrough of clarity for the next season. So we talk about, you know, don't coast on original vision, but discern what God's next is. And I warn leaders, don't let the gold medals of yesterday's success become an iron trap around your ankle.
Wow. That is so powerful. And I'm thinking right now about nature and how there's plants, there's palm trees, sago palm trees where I live, and it's magnificent to watch them unfurl and to bloom, and each generation looks totally different, yet it's the same tree. I mean, if you just took a snapshot, it's like, wow, is this what it is? No, it's going to become something more. And I wish people would read this book. And I love the notion of the uniqueness of each of our calling. You know, I see CEOs reading books of Jack Welch and all these things, and how many people have the opportunity to run a $1 billion company, but most small businesses are, yes, there's good principles, but they don't have the resources to deploy the $1 billion companies do. So, you know, like you, helping people get clear about what God has called them to do. So any last touch, and I just want to get in here that you can reach him at Will. His email is will@churchunique.com or willmancini.com. Mancini, the conductor, the orchestra. I love it.
Love it, love it.
Any last thoughts we've got here? Just maybe 60, yeah. 90 seconds.
Well, the last thought I would share, I think the thing that I love best about what I do is that when people awaken to the idea that they have this unique God-given calling, you know, there's nothing more delightful, there's nothing more euphoric, there's nothing more exciting than knowing that God's got a particular playbook in mind when he created you. I remind church leaders in particular all the time, because it's easy to get stuck thinking, hey, all churches are the same. And there are some things that, you know, all churches should do. They should all glorify God and they should all make disciples. And I use, you know, the idea of a sunset. Well, every sunset's the same in one way, but everyone is different, just like that great palm
right.
image that you used. And, you know, life is too short, you know, to try to fulfill someone else's vision. If you're fulfilling someone else's vision, then who's going to fulfill yours, right?
Right,
so
right.
Walk a process, and if you don't have this crystal clarity, I would say find a way, put that margin in your life, begin to take some initial steps to explore how you can get to crystal clarity, how you can get to a stunningly unique vision of what God's doing. My favorite one-liner is that clarity isn't everything, but it changes everything. It changes everything.
Well, I hope our listeners have been taking notes, and we'll go to your website and learn about your process and engage it. Prior to our show, I happened to be watching a video of a humpback whale that was tangled in a fishing net in the Sea of Cortez. And it showed the video of the boats coming up to rescue the whale, and there was a whale nearby that was breaching and obviously trying to help but was unable to help. And so these very brave men jumped in the water and cut away the net from this whale. And then there's a video, the whale followed the boat for several miles, breaching and slapping the water, and they said it was a pure celebration of freedom. And, I just get tears when I'm thinking about it, because churches are caught in the net of false expectations or things that might have worked for other sized fish, but not for them. And so I believe, Will, that your work is like those diving men that, and hopefully my work too, where we jump in the water and our processes help cut away the false notions, false expectations, so that you can then be free to be the whale of a church that God has called you to be in an ocean of possibility. So
that's a great image. That's a great image.
Will and I, we could talk and talk, and please check out willmancini.com. Get the book Church Unique. Every organization really should read this book. And I want to thank our many listeners, and bless you as you follow your God-given DNA to make the world a better place. Will, thank you so much for being on the show.
Lori Beth, thanks for having me, and thank you for fulfilling the calling that that God's given you and for blessing so many, including me. It's been rich. Thank you.
That's great. All right. I know both of us are going to have to be jumping off another boat here in a minute and going after a net-entangled fish. So onward, Will. Thank you, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Go out and make it a great week. Bye-bye.